Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our discussion of that one play, and we have a cool one for you tonight. It is the 2008 Texas Stadium finale, in which the Ravens beat the Cowboys 33-24, highlighted by a couple of long touchdown runs, but Willis McGahee's 77-yard touchdown run with just a couple of minutes left in the game is the one that we're going to talk about tonight. Here to join me on that is Dan Ibrahimi. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. Thanks for suggesting this. Surprisingly, it took a long time for someone to pick this. It was like 25th or 30th on the list of such shows, but really appreciate it. It's a big play in Ravens history. Why did you pick it?
I think it came at a pretty seminal moment for me and my Ravens fanhood. I was a freshman in high school at the time, and that was just kind of a time when I was hanging out with all of my childhood friends watching the game. And obviously that was such a pivotal season, 2 years after that, the high of 2006 and after the dizzying low of 2007, and then just everything that that 2008 had been up to that point. This kind of felt like the perfect game to encapsulate that wild regular season.
Yeah, Flacco and Rice, obviously their first years and 1-2 picks and great start to Joe's career. Certainly a lot of foreshadowing in terms of postseason success. The Ravens had just lost a very tough ball game the week before.
Right. I think every Ravens fan remembers that one. It was arguably the start of those really tough times the Ravens were having with the Steelers. Obviously, Roethlisberger takes the team in under 2 minutes. He takes them 92 yards, and Santonio Holmes maybe got across the goal line, maybe he didn't, but I think we all remember that one all too well.
Yeah, it's a strange play because it was reviewed, and I don't see how you could say with incontrovertible proof or whatever that it was across the end zone if he had at that point. But anyway, they gave it to him and the Steelers won the game 13-9 and that was a darn shame, obviously. So the Ravens go into this game in Dallas and they do not yet have their playoff fate secure. In fact, it took them until the last week of the season to secure it. But they went into this game, I believe, let me think about where they were. They were 9-5 going into it. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's correct. They ended at 11-5, won their last two games.
Okay. So they're playing the Cowboys. It actually ended up being a very tight race, with one of the few times an 11-5 team was kept out of the playoffs, and that was the Patriots, who ended up not making the playoffs that year, remarkably, despite the 11-5 record. So the Ravens needed this game in Dallas, and then they needed the next one as well against Jacksonville at home. But where were they in the game? Give us kind of the setup on the big play here.
So it had definitely been a weird game up to that point. They had actually only scored one touchdown, but Matt Stover, obviously the Dallas native, as we all heard so much heading into that game, selling newspapers outside of the stadium in his childhood, was 4-for-4 on field goals, but they were all pretty short field goals. In order, it was 26, 29, 37, and 35. So there was definitely some frustration from the Ravens up to that point, with just a total lack of red zone success. In fact, on their only touchdown, it was a 13-yard strike from Flacco to Mason. And they only got it because they did a fake punt. One of the very, very few that Sam Cook ran in his career. He ran for 9 yards on, I believe it was 4th and 6. And that only came two plays after a LaRon McClain fumble that Derek Mason recovered. So it was really, really interesting kind of where the Ravens were at that point. Dallas wasn't really playing well either, though.
Yeah, one thing I remember about Mason is that he was playing hurt in that game. I kind of had a problem with the arm, and they were talking about it. And remarkable when a fumble recovery happens by the offensive team in the secondary. Offensive teams recover a fair number of fumbles on sacks because they have offensive linemen around, and they sometimes will fall on a ball if it bounces a significant distance. But they don't recover very many when they're in the secondary, and usually a receiver's been tackled to do that. You know, you're not supposed to have two receivers in the same area, but somehow Mason got to that point downfield, made the recovery, kind of got a lucky bounce a little bit, and then the Ravens went on to score.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was one of my favorite games from Derek Mason as a Raven. Caught all 6 targets for 66 yards and a score. And I think the Ravens needed every single one of them to be in that position.
Efficient game, certainly. In that 2008 game, in that 2008 season, what I remember about Derek Mason a lot was he lived on that little 10-yard hitch route. He just came back. He did have a little bit of speed, so I guess that he was still, you know, thought to be a little bit of a deep threat, but he lived off that back shoulder and was turning around to catch the ball. He and Flacco definitely had a good connection there. Flacco certainly had the arm strength to get the ball outside there and make the back shoulder throw a viable and not particularly risky affair. And Mason was very good at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was so huge in Flacco's development, being able to rely on a proven veteran like Mason on a route like that.
Almost like having a tight end is supposed to be that security blanket, except in him, it's an outside receiver that's the guy.
Absolutely. And his actual tight end wasn't a bad security blanket in Heap at that point either.
Yeah. All right. So score is now, the Cowboys have closed the lead to 19-17 with 3:50 to play. So this is a ball game now, and the Ravens have got to get a first down or maybe a couple of first downs to seal the game, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And at that point, the Ravens had just seen a 9-point lead shrink down to 2, as you mentioned. And, you know, I don't think Cowboys fans at that point would have been all that happy with how their team had played. Before that, Terrell Owens 7-yard score from Romo to close the lead to 2, they had only scored one touchdown, and they only had to go, I think it was 3 or 4 yards, because DeMarcus Ware had a strip sack of Flacco right in the opening 4 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. So it had certainly been an interesting game up to that point, with each team kind of having a frustrating performance.
Yeah, the Cowboys had a tough game. They only had 16 first downs in the game, 4.8 yards per play. So not an exciting game from them in terms of the offense. And honestly, a lot of that was on Romo not having a particularly good game with 2 picks.
Right, right. And I had kind of forgotten how bad that first one was, that actually set up the DeMarcus Ware strip sack on Flacco. I think that was only second and three from the 49-yard line, and Romo just kind of launched it into triple coverage, and one of the three Ravens in the area was Ed Reed. So that was one of the worst decisions I feel like you'll see.
Ed Reed had a long return in this game. Where was it second and three? I got to look back in this again and just see. It was there's a sack on third and 10. That's not the one. Well, I'll find it. But what I remember Romo saying after the fact was that that's just a punt. You know, that's thrown all the way down the field. But then Ed Reed got his hands on the ball, and that meant there was a good punt return involved.
Exactly. And when I initially watched it, I kind of thought it was a punt too, but I believe it was only second down and the Cowboys had the ball at midfield and really only needed to go a short way for a first down. So the decision-making was really curious. Romo was still pretty young at that point, I think. I think that was his second full season starting for the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken. So just a really kind of curious decision from him.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
He's been a lot better announcer than he was a quarterback anyway. So
absolutely. Actually,
I really appreciate him as an announcer. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah. He's kind of growing a little stale to me. I think right when he started, it was the Super Bowl between the LA Rams and the Patriots, in that snooze fest of a Super Bowl where the main play was Gronkowski catching a long pass down the far sideline and Romo announcing that before it would happen after a game of no long pass plays was one of the more impressive things I've ever seen from an announcer.
He does something when a quarterback goes to the line of scrimmage where he suddenly like kind of transforms himself into the decision making like of the quarterback. I really like that. I think it's a fresh element to announcing that I think is very positive. So he's, you know, he comes to the line and goes, okay, it's third and two. I'm looking at my receiver over here. I see the tight end is here. I just love that. I really, I've come to really appreciate that. And I like, another thing I like about it is the variety of announcing styles that can be born out of something like Romo being a success is, you know, you've got now the Mannings doing their little thing as a sidelight, which is fun. It's definitely a kind of a cool thing. And you've got others that can get on a network TV and make it work. That'd be like Romo. But anyway, I think it's been a big positive for football. I've been happy to have him out of the game of football with all the drama that went with him, but the announcing career, honestly, very cool.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Take us to the run itself.
So the run itself was really interesting. I think the first thing that kind of caught me was just who was on the Ravens offensive line at this point. It's kind of interesting to go back to a time before those really kind of just couple years between the Ravens' two best offensive linemen ever and Jonathan Ogden and Marshall Yanda. And this offensive line certainly was that. It was filled with guys who weren't really necessarily known as Ravens when it was all said and done. From right to left, it was Willie Anderson, Chris Chester, Jason Brown, Ben Grubbs, and Jared Gaither. So that was kind of the first thing that struck me. But basically, I think the star of the play, other than McGahee, was probably Jason Brown. He made a beautiful block on, I believe it was Brady James with Marcus Spears right behind him. And then Chris Chester also had a nice block on Zach Thomas in the second to last game of what was now officially a Hall of Fame career. After that, Willis was pretty much just downhill. He obviously, those aforementioned blocks were on linebackers. And then Willis was just sprinting downhill through the secondary for a full 70 yards. So that was really impressive. One of McGahee's better runs in Baltimore. I believe he had a similar one at the end of the next season in Oakland.
Put him in the playoffs. That was a great run too. It might've been also 77. In fact, it was somewhat like in the 70s, but I saw the same thing you did in terms of the play, and that offensive line was fantastic. I mean, Chris Chester was a hell of an offensive lineman for starters. And I think he made definitely one of the key plays because he climbed to level two and made a nice block on a linebacker. On the other side, I'm trying to remember if a safety, maybe Hamlin for the Cowboys, slipped slightly on the play, which didn't allow him. But I mean, McGahee was gone and they were so far packed to the line of scrimmage to stop the run. They were completely committed to it that it really left them in a bad position to execute a well-executed, well-blocked play. And the Ravens have still to this day a great point of attack rushing offense that can pierce a very shallow defense like that. And it didn't take much of a mistake on the side of the Cowboys to make this happen. It was mostly just a very well-blocked play, as I recall it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. For me, not to get too far off track, but it was really, I just feel like for both teams, it kind of came to define the next couple of years. The Ravens obviously experienced a lot of playoff success immediately after that. And Dallas, to put it mildly, did not. But, you know, that was a year when the NFC was kind of wide open. A 4 seed in the Arizona Cardinals hosted the NFC championship mm-hmm. game that year. And you just kind of wonder, you know, looking back on Romo's full playing career, whether that could have been a year when they made some noise and potentially made a conference championship game.
Yeah, that would have been his chance. And that Cardinals team almost won the Super Bowl. They certainly took one of the luckiest plays in Super Bowl history at the end of that first half to basically win the game or lose the game for them, I should say. Two things about the run. First of all, we won't talk about McClain's run. We'll save that for another day. But he ran 82 or 83 yards. The next play, the Ravens ran from scrimmage because the Cowboys again drove for a touchdown. The Ravens are going to need one more first down, so they ran a real play. McClain goes the distance. Another case of penetrating a defense. Of course, they had a head coach who was defensive-minded in Phillips. Bum Phillips. That's not right.
I think that was his dad. He was the yes. big tuna.
And who am I thinking of?
Wade
Phillips. There you go. Wade Phillips just said, I've never seen anything like it. Well, he's never were truer words spoken. The two longest runs by opponents in Dallas Stadium history and Texas Stadium history were those two runs. And it was open in 1971. It got closed in 2008. In those 38 seasons, those two plays consecutively on the last two plays from scrimmage were the longest runs in by an opponent in Texas Stadium history. So very, very cool place, a lot of history. And I tell you what, it was great to see it shut down like that and have the Cowboys greats walk on the field like that after a loss. Just was really sweet, I know, for me personally, and I know for the Ravens players.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one additional crazy thing about that is that the play before that, between the Owens touchdown catch and the McGahee run, Yaman Figgers actually fumbled the kickoff. And for a second there, it didn't really look certain that the Ravens recovered it. So, I mean, that could have just changed everything. It is one of those things that, you know, most people have forgotten about that could have changed the trajectory of the next few seasons for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One story I always like to tell when I talk about this game is that Texas Stadium, they tore it down or they imploded it eventually. I don't know how long it took them to destroy it, but they needed the space. And what they needed the space for is so Dallas, it's not even funny. They needed a space to house the materials for an expansion of the interstate system. And if you've been to the Midwest, or even if you know kind of how the Midwest laid out, extremely flat. The Dallas area, very flat. You'd be at a hotel, you can see for miles and miles, it's flat. And so what they have to do to build interstates in a place like that is they have to build all sorts of ramps and bridges, and it takes a lot of effort to do that. And of course, they needed a ton of materials for that. I just thought that was hilarious to me, was that they had to use the area from this stadium to just house those materials for expansion of the interstate. Anyway, Dan, really appreciate having you on. Tell folks if they want to, where can they talk football with you online?
I'm an infrequent Twitter user. DRE8820 is my username. I don't use it very much, but I'm a huge fan of your show. I try to listen to every episode. So thank you so much for having me on, Ken. This was awesome.
Really appreciate that, Dan. You obviously came very well prepared today, and I always appreciate that. And like having a lively discussion about a game like this that's dear to both of us, obviously. Other folks out there, if you want to be on an episode like this, just like Dan, little research is great, but you be you. So tell me your perspective on an important play. Maybe you were there. Maybe it was at some pivotal crossroads of your own life. Maybe it's something about the Ravens history that you think it's central to. Whatever your viewpoint is, that's great. I'd love to hear from you. DMs are always open on Twitter with your idea, and I'll get back to you very quickly. Dan, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.